Hi, I'm Ron Volano, licensed mental health counselor, certified hypnotherapist, and also addiction counselor, owner of Family and Personal Counseling with offices throughout all of Long Island and New York, and author of a self-help book called The Zing.
Talking today with Ron Volano, 'tis the season, Ron, when many people feel depressed. So from a mental health perspective, how do we cope?
A lot of times I say to patients, or if I give a talk, let's not confuse depression with being sad. So sometimes there are triggers during the holidays, especially, that things have happened. And it could be breakups, it could be divorce, it could be a loss of a loved one. But whatever it is, and it's not happening this year, but it could trigger from the past. Ask yourself and write down on a piece of paper, am I feeling depressed or am I feeling sad about something from the past that's giving me depressed symptoms? And that a lot of times wakes up a lot of people say, no, I'm really feeling the symptoms, but I'm really sad, and they can identify it. And pay attention to your symptoms and then attempt to manage them early if you could. And surround yourself with a solid support system, good people around you. Watch shows that don't make you cry or feel sad. Turn the channel. Keep all your plans very simple. Don't get too complicated or let families put a lot of stuff on you because they don't mean to. But, you know, you may just be very loved in the family. So they want to give you four places to go in one day. And or someone's a little bit upset and makes you feel guilty. You can't get to their event. And be patient with yourself. And that's another thing. Always be patient. Respect who you are and allow yourself to take the time to be patient. And my last one is exercise. Taking care of your body through regular exercise is a very big benefit to reducing depressed symptoms or depression in itself, because it gets you out and it gets you moving other parts of your body that would otherwise be dormant and create some false illnesses too, right? If you sit in one spot, you can have the nerves going, or if you're watching TV all day, your mind becomes stagnant, and then whatever you're watching, your subconscious absorbing all of that. So getting out and doing different things, exercise. And exercise doesn't mean lifting weights all day. It could be taking a walk around the block. It could be going on a treadmill. It could be whatever you want it to be, hiking, anything. But change the pictures that are in your mind by you going out and bringing new pictures in.
I'm sort of a lone wolf when it comes to exercise and things like that, except lately when I discovered Pilates class. And as crazy as it sounds, I love the camaraderie of these women, even though I'm not real close to them. We only get together when we are exercising. But I found that it really lifts my spirits to be with like-minded people doing an activity together.
You know, it's something you said that I had quite a few women who came to me for counseling. And honestly, Pilates was one of the biggest things that they said not only got them in the best shape ever, but not just physically, but mentally, because there was a lot of women there also. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they weren't buddy buddies, but it felt like they had a group of friends that they could see and chat with without having to hang out with all day.
When you were talking about sadness versus depression, if you're sad because of things that are triggered around the holidays, is it important to sit with the sadness, or should you do all you can to sort of get over it and move on to something else in your day?
I like what you just said, because one thing I believe personally you cannot do is get over sadness. Mm. You know, you have to get through everything. However, everything takes certain and its own time. But the time it takes a lot of times is our effort. So I would always advise, no matter what's going on in anyone's life, to journal, to write down your feelings, no matter how good or lousy you're feeling, write them down. And then when you feel you're done or you feel you can't write any longer, then stop. Put a date and time on it, and you can do it again later. It's not going anywhere. However, that's one of the best exercises anyone can do. Instead of sitting with it or feeling stuck, I say feel stuck while you're writing. Feel stuck while you say, I'm going to force myself out that front door and walk around the block. And if they want to, with phones today, put the ear part in, you know, and chat with somebody that you enjoy, or a counselor, a therapist now with telehealth. While you're doing your session, take a walk. I found a lot of patients, when they were home on the phone talking to me, they would reveal way more because they were relaxed in their own setting. And that was a very big plus.
If you see someone close to you descending into sort of a funk, what helpful thing can you do for them?
One of the key things is be willing to listen. However, let your loved one know that you understand how or she feels. That's the key. When the person wants to talk, you listen carefully, but avoid giving any advice or opinions or making judgments. That don't do, and a lot of people have a habit of doing that. Just listening and being understanding, I believe, can be one of the most powerful healing tools you can have when somebody is speaking. And give positive reinforcements, right? Give it. You know, people with depression judge themselves harshly all the time. They find fault with everything they do. Remind your loved one that all about their positive qualities and how much that person means to you and others. That's powerful to hear. But softly do it. You know, do it from the heart. And then, of course, always offer assistance and make it suggestions, not, hey, Pat, you need, that's all controlling statements. But you suggest, hey, I have a couple of ideas. And communication means to say how you feel to the other person without putting a command or demand on them. Because you don't want somebody to do something for you because you commanded or demanded about it. You want them to hear you, process, say, okay, I love that person, or I care about that person so much. I'm willing to do this for them. You know, that's the key. And somebody who feels down needs to feel that, needs to feel you're there because you want to be there, not because you're giving them that, oh, how you feeling? How you doing? That's the worst thing you could do. It pushes people back instead of forward. And, you know, encourage participation in different outside things. It could be spiritual. It could be, again, exercise. It could be learning something in the library. And sometimes maybe you with the loved one will take a ride with them and say, hey, if you want, let's take a ride to the library. Or let's take a ride to this class, or whatever it is. So being supportive without being demanding or commanding, very powerful.
Anger and rage, wow, they're on the rise. Why do you think we're hearing so much about that now?
The political environment created such dissension. Divorce is at one of its highest levels because one person is Republican and one person is Democrat. I don't comprehend how, if I loved you, what that would have to do whether you believe in one party versus the other party. You know, that I always felt was an opinion and a discussion. But it seems like everyone needs you to be who they are today. And that's why we have a lot of this anger stuff going on. But I think a lot of it came from that. And I think there was a lot of anger that was dormant and people were able to control. And this gave an excuse to release it. Say, well, I'll release my anger through this. That's acceptable now today.
So many people believed that maybe for good or ill, once the election was over, that there would be, I don't know, a balancing of the scales or something, or people would calm down, but it seems even worse.
Well, you're in the news media, so the news media keeps bread on the table by getting people to watch. In order to avoid a lot of frustration within yourself and anger and to dismiss it, is not to participate in other people's thinking, perceptions, and thoughts. Let them be yours, not someone else's. Don't believe everything that you're hearing out there. Hear what you're hearing, and then you make the decisions. Do the best you can as far as if you have anger on the street where you think somebody's having anger. You don't even know them, and they want to come at you. Walk away. Do the best you can to release that. Don't participate in any way with that. And that's another thing I recommend, you know, where people like to look someone in the eye and you know that person's coming. Don't. Look down and look away. And when you walk away, most people just throw their hands up and call your name. Well, you'd rather be called a name than being brought out in an ambulance somewhere, you know?
Yeah, sticks and stones, right? What do you think is a good way to respond as we flip the calendar? I always like to make resolutions. They sort of are a nice way to get into the new year.
Resolutions are wonderful. However, they become like a revolution, and then they get upset with themselves. So I would say if every year, let's use the common one, and I don't have to tell you what that is, but weight loss. So make a different resolution to yourself. And I don't like to call it resolution. I like to call it make one change in your life for the year. Just one change, not 10, 20, one. Maybe I'm going to read more. Read more doesn't mean to read a novel every day, but maybe you'll say I'll read 7 pages of a book every day. Maybe do a relaxation technique every day, 5 minutes a day. Doesn't have to be a certain time, but before the day ends, you would have done 5 minutes of it. Just something. Maybe take a small course that you're not going to be perfect in it. You're not going to be the tennis player that's going to be the tennis player of the world. You don't have to play and practice to get lessons every day. Just something different. Make one change. And you don't have to say to yourself, one change that I will stick to, but I want to make a change that's new that I want to put into my grid instead of making another change that I know I've done for the last 20 years and I never kept it. And that's what caused me to feel down, sad, depressed, because once again, I was able to keep what I bargained to myself.
That's good. That's real good. With another variant of COVID now in the news, it really doesn't appear that the world is getting back to normal anytime soon, if ever. Many of us, me included, thought that the pandemic would be maybe like a short war, or it would be over and things would go back to normal. But boy, it doesn't really seem like that's the case. How do we deal?
So I look at something like the pandemic and what's happening today as the world is shifting. And the people that fight the change are always saying, wow, this isn't what we're used to.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing is what you're used to since you're born. We change from kindergarten to first grade, second grade, all the way, and we get married, whatever, new jobs. So when you're able to learn how to embrace the power of change, and I mean it that way, that change is very powerful, but if you embrace it, that all this becomes normal every day because it's supposed to be. So yes, it's different for all of us. Some people take a little more time to get into it, but people who are fighting the change and they're saying the pandemic now is changing our lives in such a way that's negative. However, it's not for some people. Some people are working from home and they're able to take care of their families and the kids and do stuff that they weren't able to do and enjoy their families more, instead of being out of the house for 30 years during those times. So there's a lot of different things that are happening right now, I think, that are favorable, right? Maybe
yes.
Not for the business world all the time, but for a lot of families. And I think there's a lot of families are enjoying each other more than they ever thought they would because of this. So that's one area that the change was good. But the change wasn't good for people, say, who had addiction to drinking or drugs. And now we have a higher level of that going on. I know that for counseling. We have a higher level of depression now from people because they feel they're stuck in the house and they're stuck with people that they didn't want to be married to. And now they see them every day. They were able to, say, put up with it because they went to work 8-10 hours a day. And now the people are around each other all day. So unless those people acclimate to their new lifestyles with their families or jobs, then this would be a negative. But not everything is a negative either. So some things are positive out of it. But going with the changes becomes the normal.
How would you conclude our talk today? Are you hopeful about the future?
I'm very hopeful for the moment. I live every day in a moment. I feel that's all we have. So yes, but my future, I always feel hopeful because I don't like to think of the alternative and say, well, what's the alternative if you don't think hopeful? I'd rather just believe hopeful is that you're going to do the best you can. And I'm a big believer, if you do something good for someone today other than yourself, then that's how you reward yourself with the best blessing and the best gift you could give yourself. So you'll never be stuck in, say, disappointment when you're helping someone. And that's how I look at it. Doing something in your own family maybe helps someone, you know, just do something kind. And I guarantee you, your hopefulness will be a lot stronger than it ever was. And I don't mean just this time of year. I mean, every day should be this time of year. So yes, I'm hopeful. And I like to think that the majority of people are wonderful and have good intentions.
Well, I like that. I like that. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today and taking the time. You always lift my spirits, so thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I have the ability to speak to your audience, and hopefully one of the things I said will help someone change a little bit, and that would be my reward.